If you were ever at a Madison co-op from the late 1960s to around the 80s, you may have heard of the famous Gorilla Cookie. The pastry had a cult-like following for about 20 years, but then suddenly disappeared from the shelves. Many tried to replicate it, but Ted O'Dell, the baker behind the recipe, took his secret to the grave. Joining us now is Dave Dennison, the senior editor at The Baffler. He spent some time with O'Dell in different periods of their lives. Dave, thanks for being here today.
Thank you. It's good to speak with you.
Starting right off the bat, I know there are a lot of listeners who maybe hear Gorilla Cookie, and that's going to grab a certain part of their memory from Madison. For those of us like myself who weren't around at the time, can you describe what these cookies looked and tasted like?
It was a variation of what you would recognize as an oatmeal raisin cookie, but it was meant to be, it was described on the label, a whole meal cookie. And so besides rolled oats and raisins, it had a lot of other ingredients like wheat germ and nuts and probably a couple different kinds of flour, mostly sweetened with honey and I think a little bit of molasses. I remember that the label, which was handwritten by the baker, had the words chew slowly, but we don't have the full list of ingredients, so we're all guessing. I think that the interest in the Gorilla Cookie itself has a lot to do with partly connected to those times in Madison, Wisconsin in the 60s and 70s. But in some ways, you look for ways to bring back that lost time, and in this case, maybe with a lost recipe.
Can you go in a little bit about where the name Gorilla Cookie actually came from and those ties to the counterculture that really thrived in Madison?
That wasn't Ted's idea to call this wholemeal cookie a gorilla cookie. He developed it in the late 60s. By 1969, he got an agreement with the Mifflin Street Co-op in Madison to carry it on their shelves. He started delivering them, and someone, and if you remember what Madison was like in the 1960s, it's not hard to believe, someone at the Mifflin Street Co-op put a sign above the cookies calling them gorilla cookies, gorilla in terms of warriors against the American Empire. And Ted was a fairly pacifistic person, so he didn't object to that name, and the name stuck.
Ted was someone who was very interesting to read about. What was it like working with Ted one-on-one, and what was that baking process like?
I had a brief period where I was his baker's assistant. He was very interested in education and history and the environment. We would be working in the bakery with Wisconsin Public Radio on, and he every day would listen to Chapter a Day as part of his continuing education. When the cookie was well known and popular, he circulated among a lot of the co-op people in and around Madison. He wanted support in turning his bakery into something grander, an educational center where he talked about educating children about nutrition. He wanted it to be a part of some sort of nutritional center that could do a greater good for the world than just producing a product. The proposal was met with no enthusiasm. By 2007, he was living out in the woods in a rustic cabin. Ted was a real nonconformist. Part of his stubbornness was that he became aware in the 2000s that there was a lot of interest in bringing back the cookie and trying to find the recipe, and why won't he share it with us? That he stubbornly refused because he felt like, why do I want to put this out into the world so someone else will come along and commercialize it? That's not what I was trying to do. So I think that's why this story caught on with readers. It starts out being about the cookie and it turns into a bit of a character study of Ted himself.
Do you think that eventually this recipe will end up being perfected, close to perfected? Because we don't know exactly what was in there.
He told me when I visited him, his cabin was out in near Broadhead, looking out over the Decatur Lake, which is fed by the Sugar River. And nearby was a golf course, but that golf course went out of business, and a group called the Three Waters Reserve came in and restored it as a nature reserve open to the public. And Ted helped to make that happen and donated his own land. I don't know anyone who is connected to the Three Waters Reserve, but unless someone went into that cabin and found the recipe, I don't know.
Well, Dave Dennison wrote the piece, A Baker's Secrets, published in The Baffler. Dave, thanks for joining us and sharing a bit of the history behind one of Madison's favorite cookies. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.